Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to Blog Talk Radio with your host, Pastor Cheryl Thaxton. Thank you so much for joining me today for Favor Life, The Process Is There. And this 15-minute empowerment, you're going to be encouraged in your walk of faith. You're going to be encouraged in trusting God every day in every situation and circumstance. You're going to see yourself grow in the grace and the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ as you apply the Word of God, live out the Word of God, and understand the process of what you're going through for your destiny. God is getting you prepared. Every situation that you go through, everything that you face in life, it is getting you prepared for your destiny. It's getting you prepared to trust God more and more, getting you prepared to see the greatness and the salvation of the Lord in your life. And it also lets you expand the kingdom of God because you show and demonstrate the love and the life of God. You demonstrate His divine power and will as you live every single day for the glory of Him. And other people are encouraged, helped by your life. You're not hiding your light. You're allowing your light to shine brightly, to be the salt of the earth, so that if someone else can be saved, delivered, set free, or even be encouraged in their own walk of faith. So this process that we're going through will be a continual process until we see Jesus, until we meet Him in the sky, until we pass over in sleep and meet Him on the other side. But it's a process that we're going to go through because we're becoming more and more like Him. We've got to learn how to live in the kingdom of God. And this process of God moving in our lives and cutting and shaping and making us is part of what we have to go through to become more and more like Him. Because as we apply the Word of God, live the Word of God, rely on the Word of God, have the mind of Christ, and we renew our mind in that Word every single day and fellowship with Him, we're becoming more and more like Him. And we rely more on what God says than we do on our flesh and the world or the circumstance. We hear God and we obey Him. We've been looking and studying in the Bible for some time now, unlikely places of blessings, where these places are people that we're studying in the Bible, and it seems as if they are in a predicament that it does not seem as if God is there. God is going to bring them out. God is going to show favor. But it's in these places that God shows up the greatest, and He does the miraculous for His people. We started off with Esther, and we went into other books of the Bible, even Joseph and Jacob, and we see how God changed their lives and how God used them, and they were a blessing not only to themselves and their own family, but to the nation of Israel. So we want to continue to study and see how God has taken an unlikely place, unlikely position, even an unlikely character, as He did with Jacob, and He shows how He's able to change it and do something and cause that place or that unlikely position to be a place of blessing. We're studying David now, and as we're studying him, we're seeing this unlikely place because this is a place that he himself did not choose, but God chose him. And even though he is on the run in this particular part of our study from Saul, we see that even in this, God is making him and making him into the leader that he is going to eventually be. And in that process, he's had to face many hardships. But we understand and know that anything worth having is going to cost you. There is no leader. There is no business person. There's no one person who's ever gone to anything great or done anything great, and it did not cost them. It did not cost them something. They did not have to pay a price in some way. Even people who go to college, they have to study. So it costs them the freedom or the liberty of someone who is not in college or someone who does not have a major that is costly. And so, you know, we understand that if we want to see the benefits of success and we want to see greatness performed in our life, it's going to cost us, even in the spirit realm, to do the will of God. It's going to cost us. But if we allow the process of God's will to be done, we're going to see fruit. We're going to see great deliverance. We're going to see people's lives change, and God is going to be glorified. Glory is going to be seen in the earth as we allow God's will to be done. When we look at the 21st chapter of 1 Samuel, we're going to see more and more about how David, even in his running, makes some mistakes, but it's because he's afraid. And when you are under a lot of pressure and you are being attacked and persecuted, it will sometimes cause you to do things that you would not have done if you had not been under that pressure. But even in this, God is going to show him that he cannot deny who he is and what he's been called to do. So we see that David goes, he's going to meet up with some men later on in this chapter. But first he goes to Nod. And when he goes to Nod, Nod is a priestly community. It's a place where eventually the tabernacle is going to be restored after the destruction of Shiloh. So this is an important place in the Bible. And there was the grandson of Eli, who was Ahimelech. He was there, and he was serving as high priest. When he sees David, he becomes afraid. And he becomes afraid possibly because he's heard about the breach in the relationship with David and King Saul, and he's afraid of what's getting ready to transpire. Saul had basically put out the word that anybody who helped David was going to be killed. He was after David's life, and he wanted everybody to help him basically kill David. So when the priest sees David, he asks him a question. He wants to know, you know, why are you here? And David was a very respected soldier. And he was still a member of the royal family. He was married to Saul's daughter, and he was still part of the king's court. So he was still respected in some point, in some aspects. So it was unusual for David to be alone. He always had a band of men with him. But David tells the priest that the king has sent him on a very important assignment, and that he left in a hurry, that he was not able to get certain things, certain supplies, and that his men is meeting him somewhere else, and it was so secretive that he did not have time to prepare for anything, and he's asking for food. Now, the king knows that David does not have any supply and that he's going to be looking for some help from someone. So he's already sent out enough spies, information, so that people would know in certain areas not to help David. But God always allows a way of escape. God always allows favor to be on our lives. When we're facing hard situations and difficult situations, God will command favor to be there so that someone will help, someone will give information, someone will open up a door for us. And that lets us know that God's unfailing love and his divine will is going to be done in our lives if we allow it. So the king is basically bullying David, but God still is in control, and that's what you need to know. God is still in control no matter what's happening around you, no matter how many bullets, how many enemies that are trying to oppress you. God is going to make a way for your escape. David asked the priest, as I said before, to give him 5 loaves of bread and whatever else he could find. And he informs him again, you know, about meeting up with this man. And the priest told David basically that there was no common bread there. The only bread that they had was the holy bread, the show bread, that was out, and that was unto the Lord. And that every 5 days this bread is going to be replaced. And David was letting him know, okay, well, some new bread is coming. The women are going to bring some new bread to the Lord and present that to him. So why don't you give me this bread so that I can have it? So the priest gives it to him. David also inquires about weapons. And the priest lets him know the only weapon that we have is the sword of Goliath from Gath, where you cut his head off. And they had it wrapped, protected, and it was hid basically behind in the tabernacle was hid, and he brought it out to David so that David could have it. Now, we understand that the bread that was on display when the temple was the bread for the Lord in Exodus 25 lets us know about that, and Leviticus 25 lets us know about that, that this bread was for the Lord. Now, according to God's law, the bread could only be eaten by the priest, but David explained to the priest that he and his men had avoided the ritual of impurities because the priest wanted to know, had they been with women in the last 5 days? And David told him that they had been away from the women for 3 days, and that they had not been impure or had not been in contact with women or had not had relations with women, and so that he was able to partake of that bread that was holy. And according to Leviticus 24 and 9, the understanding was that the only way that the law could be breached was based upon the fact that if it was going to save someone's life, if it was going to be something that they needed to live by, then that bread could be used for someone to eat other than the priest. And this bread was saving David's life. And because it was saving David's life, the priest gave it to him. Jesus goes back in Mark 2, and he starts talking about, referring to the same bread that David basically eats. And the reason why Jesus refers to this bread is because the scholars and the Pharisees basically try to accuse Jesus of not trying of being a lawbreaker, because his disciples were walking through the field and they were hungry and they began to pick some of the grain, some of the corn, and so they try to accuse Jesus of doing that. And Jesus let them understand that all the days belong to God. God is in control of all these days. They all belong to Him. The Sabbath belongs to God, and the Sabbath was a sign, basically, of the law and the decrees that Moses was given. And for Jesus to not honor the law according to what they saw, it was basically saying that the law of Moses was not effect, and it was an insult against the law. But Jesus let them know, my Father's in charge of this, and even if, because David was able to eat the bread that was given unto my Father, because the days belong to my Father, He made them, now we can do this. The days were not made for God. They were made for man. And so he lets them understand that. And so David is falling in line, and he's doing something that basically we don't understand, but we understand later on that it was all according to God's plan, that God will allow his will and his word to be done, to manifest in someone's life when he has permitted them to live for his purpose and his plan. And all of this was flowing according to God's purpose and plan. David's life was going to be preserved, and he was going to be preserved in a priestly way, because the bread that he was eating, even though it was for the priest, it would be the lineage that Jesus would travel through. And the Bible lets us know that that Jesus would come through the throne of David and would sit on that throne. So we were seeing God's hand in all of that, because he was eating a priestly bread, something that was going to be connected spiritually to Jesus. So we understand that God was setting everything in motion, in order, and even though Jesus was going to come many years after David, but it was going to be linked together, because God was doing something special, doing something great. And that lets us know that when God is up to something, our lives, what we do is going to be linked to something else. Even if we're not here, that's going to bring glory to God, that's going to expand his kingdom for his glory, that other people are going to be blessed by our obedience and God's preserving of our lives. So David basically was able to do this, but what ended up happening is one of King Saul's men, who was there, who was an Edomite, witnessed what happened between David and the priest. And he passed the word along to the king that David was here. This man was a herdsman. He was actually in the company of the priest, because for spiritual reasons he had to be there. He was under a spiritual vow at that time. So he was being detained by the Lord, before the Lord, because he had to be there for a spiritual vow that he had to make. So he went and he told the king of what was going on and what had transpired. And we'll get to this other part tomorrow. I don't have enough time to get to it today to see what happens. And we're going to see how Saul goes into further rebellion against the word and the will of God, and how he does something that he shouldn't have done. But that lets us understand that the enemy will use people to go to the extreme to try to stop the word and the will of God, but God will not allow it to happen. I'm Pastor Cheryl Thaxton. Thank you so much for joining me today for Favor Life, the process of there. Pray that you've been encouraged in your walk of faith, and that you continue to do what God says, and he's going to make a way for your escape. Open up a door, allow favor to come in. Somebody's going to help you, bless you, or even encourage you as you're going through your process. Do not give up. Don't let go. God is on your side, and you're going to come out on top. Be blessed, and we'll see you again tomorrow for the 15-Minute Empowerment.